You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
If the study of the Word of God isn't bringing joy into your life, something is radically wrong. That's what Dr. J. Vernon McGee tells us today as we continue our study of the Old Testament book of Nehemiah on Through the Bible. I'm Steve Schwetz, welcoming you to another great adventure in God's Word. As you grab your Bible and find your way to Nehemiah chapter 8, I want to share a few letters from our fellow passengers on the Bible bus. First is a letter from a listener of our Banjara language broadcast in India. I'm 71 years old. My family has worshipped idols since the time of our forefathers. I perform many rituals and rites to please the gods and spend lots of money on them. However, I found no peace. Even the sacrifice of goats and sheep yielded no results. Throughout my life, no one taught me about true divinity. I, too, failed to teach my five sons the truth. When my younger son was a student, he contracted a strange illness. That was when we happened to listen to your program. We were surprised to find your broadcast in our mother tongue. One of the first things we heard was, Jesus Christ is the true God. Are you yielding to him in these days of agony and despair? The wounded hands of Jesus will heal your sickness. This is the right time to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the day of salvation. Immediately, my heart was moved by these words, and I wanted to know more. Soon after, we began to pray and believe, and to our joy and surprise, the Lord Jesus healed my son. To us, the radio is our church. There are no churches nearby. We've stopped worshiping idols. While listening to the messages from the book of Job, we were inspired to talk to you. Thanks for praying for us on the phone. As for me and my family, there is no other God than Jesus Christ. He is our refuge. We choose to follow him for the rest of our lives. Wow, what a wonderful reminder of the power of God's word. And then here's another great note. This one's from a listener a little closer to home. Lynn in Minnesota emailed us. I'm so glad that our merciful God reached out to me and made me his own by paying the price for my sin with his own son. I was raised in a Christian family, and God walked with me as I married, finished college, raised a family, and had a successful career. It seems as if I was living the American dream, but cracks from sin in my life surfaced in the form of alcohol abuse and physical ailments. When God lovingly forced me to put aside material rewards and focus on my Savior by building a new life around him, I finally found true peace and regained my health. Our abundance in America can be both a blessing and a curse. I was successful materialistically, but it caused me to look inward instead of upward and outward toward my Savior. Listening to Dr. McGee each morning gives me a biblical foundation that does not crack. Praise God for his word, and praise God for all of you. Well, Lynn, thanks so much for your letter. I agree, starting each day in God's word is so important. It makes such a difference. And what about you? What are you learning as we go through God's word together? Well, you know we'd love to hear from you, so why don't you write to us today at Box 7100, Pasadena, California, 91109. In Canada, Box 25325, London, Ontario, N6C, 6B1. You can email us at BibleBus@ttb.org, or you can always call 1-800-65-BIBLE, or just leave a post on our Facebook page. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word that transforms our lives. Would you teach us today about the joy that's available to us as we devote ourselves to knowing you better? In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Here now is our study of Nehemiah 8 on Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now, friends, we saw last time here in Nehemiah the fact that there had been adequate preparation made by Nehemiah after the walls were completed, that they be guarded, the city be guarded, and then that there be singers, because he wanted them to have the joy of the Lord. Now, how does joy come? Well, now notice what he does here in the 8th chapter. We're told that all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate. And they spoke unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. Now Ezra, who was a scribe, is called in. And they are going to have a great Bible reading. Notice this that follows now. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding, upon the first day of the seventh month. Now you'll notice that only those that were gathered together with understanding, that could hear with understanding, that means they had a nursery and they didn't have any crying babies. And I do not know where the nursery was, but maybe Nehemiah took care of them, I don't know. But I tell you, he made adequate preparation, you may be sure. Now in verse 3, we're told that Ezra read therein, that is, in the book of the law of Moses, before the street that was before the water gate. Now you'll recall that when we went through the gates of Jerusalem, the water gate represented the word of God. Now they put a pulpit by the water gate, and there is where he read. And he read from the morning until midday before the men and women and those that could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. Now, I do not know where I could get a congregation that would listen to me read from the Bible from the morning until midday. They always had difficulty of listening for 45 minutes. And I think, though, that some had the impression that it was like the two ladies walking out of the church after the morning service. One said to the other one, says, "My, that preacher certainly preaches a long time." And the other said, "No, he really doesn't preach a long time. It just seems like it's a long time." Well, a great many people thought 45 minutes seemed pretty long. But notice here, he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until midday, before the men and the women and those that could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive under the book of the law. Now, the reason for that was that many of these people during the 70 years of captivity had never heard the word of God. They hadn't heard it read, and this was really a new experience for them. And we're told here now, Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood, which they had made for the purpose. And we're told beside him stood Mattathiah and Shema, Ananiah, and Urijah, Hilkiah, and Maaseiah, on his right hand. On his left hand, Padiah, Mishael, Malchiah, and Hashem, and Hashbadana, and Zechariah, and Meshulam. These were the men that stood with him. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. Now, they stood for the reading of the law, and that meant they stood during that time. They didn't have a soft cushioned pew to sit in. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, first of all, his praise to God. And all the people answered, "Amen, amen," with lifting up of their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Now, this means they all went down on all fours, and they just, with their forehead, they touched the ground. And that's the way that they worshiped in that day. Now, here we have another list, and I'm not going to go through this. Maybe I should, because these were very important individuals. And Jeshua, and Benai, and Sherebiah, and Jamin, Akub, and Shabbethai, and Hodijah, Maaseiah, Kalita, and Azariah, and Jozabad, Hanan, and Peliah, and the Levites caused the people to understand the law, and the people stood in their place. Now, here is something that I want you to notice in particular, because it seems to me that it's very important. They had out in this great assembly of all the people that were gathered there by the water gate inside the walls of Jerusalem, why, they had these men stationed out in the assembly. And this man, Ezra, the scribe and the priest, he would read a certain portion of the law. And when he stopped, then each one of these men who was stationed out in the congregation, they would say to their group, "Did you understand what was read?" And most of them nodded their head and said, "Yes." And maybe some put up their hand and said, "Now, we didn't quite understand, what he meant when he talked about this doctrine and that doctrine and the other doctrine. We're not quite sure. What did he mean? And so this man would explain the reading of the law to them. Then Ezra would read another section, and then they would stop, and then they would have the folk out there ask questions, and it was explained to them. Now, that seems to me to be very important. I wonder today if in our churches we had a great Bible reading. We just read. That is, somebody would stand up and read. Then you'd have people stationed out in the congregation, and maybe one man would take this section, another man the other section, and so on. And then they would read in the law. And suppose they read the first chapter of Ephesians today, and they started out, and you wouldn't have to go very far there until you'd encounter that which has been a real problem to the believers today. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Now, I think when somebody would read that to the congregation, you'd read about five verses, or six verses there, and stop. And then the man or the teacher in that section would say, "Now, did you understand that?" And I think all the hands would go up. And they'd say, "Wait a minute, what does Paul mean when he says, chosen in him before the foundation of the world? Is he teaching the doctrine of election there? And what is the doctrine of election? Is it something that the Democrats and Republicans would be interested in?" And the very interesting thing is, I don't think either the Democrats or the Republicans or any other party would be interested in that today. They don't seem to manifest very much interest. Spiritual thing, politicians don't, but a lot of people are today. We're in the midst of this spiritual movement. I don't know where it's going, but it's sure on its way. And I trust it'll lead to revival. This one here led to revival. And what happened was that these people that had never heard the word read to them, I can well understand they'd have many questions. And so they just took all the mourning for that. And they did that. And what they did was to cause the people to understand the law, and the people stood in their place. This is remarkable, by the way, friend. They would ask questions. They say, "I didn't quite understand that last verse there, chosen in him before the foundation of the world." Now, that would, I think, clarify a great deal for people today. And I'm not sure but what we're having that kind of a movement on today. That's the reason that we go through the entire Bible, and that's the reason we take up practically every verse and deal with it. I believe personally that's the way it should be done. I do not think this business of taking a text and then going everywhere and preaching the gospel, I don't think that's quite it. And that is the reason that there's been a lot of lack of interest in the Word of God, because it's been handled that way. And I'm not sure but what just to take a text and to just take a theme and launch out into the deep with no thought of ever coming back to the Scripture and explaining it is really doing what the writer in Scripture says, handling the Scripture of God deceitfully. Now, he intends for us to just take it up as it is and attempt to explain it as we go along. And that's exactly what they're doing here. And that is the thing that I think God wants us to do. Now, that's not all. Here's a great lesson for us today. We can talk about methods all you want to. We hear a great deal about the psychological approach. And my great many go out on that tangent. And there are other tangents that they're going out on. I could mention many things. The scholarly tangent of going out. A man, in fact, he's a president of a seminary. Some dear saint, I think, said the wrong thing to him, said, "My, you know, we just listened to Dr. McGee going through the Bible." And this man, in a very casual manner, says, "Well, that's one way, I guess, of doing it, but it's certainly not the scholarly way and the proper way to do it." Well, may I say to you that that's the way the Lord's leading us to do it. And I believe that that's the scriptural method. Here it is. You want to know the scriptural method? This is it. They caused the people to understand the law, and the people stood in their place. We need to understand what's in the Word of God. God's speaking to us here. Now, here's some more. Verse 8 of chapter 8 of Nehemiah. So they read in the book, in the law of God, distinctly, and gave the sense, and caused them to understand the reading. Now, I have occasion to go into many places and speak, and I've heard the scripture read in just about every way that is imaginable. Every now and then, some brother gets up and reads it with great emphasis. He reads it as if it's the Word of God he's reading. But too often, some fella gets up and he ducks his head, and nobody hears him past the third pew to begin with. But he gets up and he reads it like this. So they read in the book of the law of God distinctly, gave the sense, and caused them to understand the reading. Well, may I say to you, I don't like that, because that's not doing it the way God said they did it back there. And this is apparently the way that he wanted it done. And Nehemiah puts in that little word, so. These men didn't have a course in homiletics, public speaking, but they believed it was the Word of God. And they read it like it was the Word of God. That's the way Ezra did it. So they read in the book, in the law of God, distinctly. Make sure people understand what you're reading. And they gave the sense. They gave the meaning of it. And they caused them to understand the reading. Now, I understand that that is what God wants done in church service. And until that's done, I don't care how loud the soloist sang, and I do not care how sweetly the organist played, and I do not care how flowery the message was. My friend, if the Word of God was not read distinctly, and if the sense of it was not given, and if it didn't cause people to understand, then it was of no avail whatsoever. This is the thing that's all important, friend. Now, will you notice, verse 9, and Nehemiah, which is the Tirshatha, and Ezra the priest, the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto all the people, this day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Now, this was a great emotional outburst. My, these people here, very candidly, they hadn't heard the Word of God. Many of them, first time they ever heard it in their life. And the Word of God here so moved them, and they were moved upon emotionally. And they wept, but I think they wept for joy. And will you notice here, Nehemiah is very careful to say, then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. That's social service for you. They talk about the social gospel today. My friend, if the Word of God means something to you, get something from it, it'll make you want to go out and do something nice for somebody. The thing of it is that it'll make you want to do something for God. They tell a very whimsical little story out here in California. You know, they talk about the Boy Scout doing his good deed, helping an old lady cross the street. Well, they say down here in one of these retirement areas of the senior citizens, and a man got up a new type of vitamin, and a little old lady helped two Boy Scouts across the street. My friend, I tell you, the Word of God is a vitamin that's going to make you do your good turn. And I don't know what it'll be, but you'll have to determine that, but it'll cause you to do your good turn. That's what the Word of God does. Now he says here that you're to send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. Do something for the poor. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. And you remember Paul said to believers, then he gave the very source of power was joy. Rejoice in the Lord, and again I say rejoice. The secret is prayer, but the source of power is joy. And he said that they were to rejoice. You know, the Word of God is to make you joyful. And that's one reason that my feeling is that there's something wrong if the church service doesn't make you happy, doesn't bless your heart. Over a period of 21 years in downtown Los Angeles, we had the privilege of having what was said to be the largest week service in America. We went anywhere from 1,500 to 2,500 people during that period. Now, I always went out and shook hands. I began that custom to go out on the front porch and shake hands with the folk as they came out. And I could always tell whether the Bible study had been a blessing or not. Sometimes they'd just come out and sort of mumble and shake your hand. Well, you know that night it hadn't really been a blessing. Then somebody comes out there just radiant and they shake your hand and just, oh, I'm rejoicing in the Lord. Then you know that it accomplished its purpose. Now, my friend, the Word of God's to bring joy to you. That is the thing that, remember John when he wrote his first epistle, he said that was one of the reasons that he wrote it. He says, verse 4 of chapter 1 of 1 John, he says, and these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. And he just doesn't want you to have a little fun. He wants you to have a whole lot of fun reading his word, studying his word. Now, the study of the word of God ought to bring joy into your life. And friend, face up to it. If the study of the word of God is not bringing joy into your life, something's radically wrong with you. You ought to go to God in prayer and say, Lord, I want your word to bring joy into my life. And whatever there's between, any cloud between, I want it removed that I may experience the joy of the Lord when we study the Word of God. And that'll make church going a real happy affair. Have you ever seen a crowd going to a football game? Oh my, it's like a holiday, rejoicing. You ever see them coming into church on Sunday morning? Boy, what a duty, what a burden. And there are a lot of folk there with burdens, but that burden should be lifted in the service, and they should come out with joy in their heart. Now we are told here, all the people went their way to eat and to drink and to send portions, to make great mirth, because they had understood the words that were declared unto them. I hope this Bible study makes you happy. Missionary way down on the field, discouraged. Word of God's bringing joy to him. And here is a home, I tell you, about to fall apart. And what's happened? That Word of God's brought joy. Here's a man had bitterness in his heart against me. He listened to some others that are my enemies, apparently. But the Word of God began to work in his life. May I say to you, it'll have an effect on you. And now we are told here, on the second day, verse 13, were gathered together the chief of the fathers of all the people, the priests, the Levites, and Ezra the scribe, even to understand the words of the law. They came back for another service. I never pay much attention. Anybody say to me on Sunday night, oh, this has been a great day. I've been greatly blessed today. In a conference, I look for them on Monday night. If they don't come, I wonder what they meant on Sunday night. Now, will you notice? We are told here that they found written in the law, which is commanded by Moses, that the children of Israel should dwell in booths in the feast of the seventh month. Verse 16, so the people went forth and brought them and made themselves booths. You know what they're doing? They're obeying the law, obeying the word of God. And my friends, one thing to read it and study it and have it bring joy to you, but the joy is going to end unless we begin to obey it, and it has its way with us. My, this is a wonderful chapter. I told you, this is where the through the Bible began. It's right here with Ezra. And taking the word of God, the law of Moses began. I don't know how long this went on, but we're told now in the next chapter, my friends, it was revived. We'll see that next time. Until then, may God richly bless you, my beloved.
In the New Testament book of Hebrews, the writer says, the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. In other words, no matter who we are or how long we're living, the Bible can reach into the depths of our hearts and show us where to turn. This was the experience of those who listened to Ezra and read the scriptures, and we pray that this is also your experience as we study the Bible together. If it is, we sure hope that you'll invite your family and friends to join us as well. To find out how you can direct them to listen to Through the Bible online or through one of our apps, visit us at ttb.org and check out all the options you've got. Or just call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE if we can answer any of your questions about this very fruitful ministry. Next time, we're in Nehemiah 9 as we see more great effects that come from reading and studying God's Word. I'm Steve Schwetz, and I'm happy to be on this journey right alongside you. So I'll save you a seat on the Bible bus next time.
Jesus made it home. Unto him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
Through the Bible is a 5-year study of God's entire Word, and together we discover God's purposes in history and our lives, found only when we believe in Jesus Christ. Do you know Him yet?
Nothing can conquer us. We are victorious.
We are victorious. We are victorious. Nothing can conquer us. We are victorious.
Yeah! Charge
We are victorious.
If you're victorious, put your hands together.
You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
So, Lord, greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. who's worthy of all our honor and praise. I am Minister Gloria Ross, and I thank you for tuning in to the broadcast of New Life Assembly of God, hallelujah, of Melbourne, Florida. We are located in Melbourne, Florida, and that's the 774 North Apollo Boulevard, and that's in Melbourne, Florida, hallelujah. So our church telephone number is 321-255-6999. You know, on Wednesday night, we have prayer and Bible study, and it's at 7:30 p.m., and the telephone number would be 732-434-2231. I repeat that telephone number again, 732-434-2231. Our church services start at 11 o'clock a.m. every Sunday. Now stay tuned to the broadcast. You will be blessed.
Well, praise the Lord out there in Radio Land. I want to pray for my faith partners, radio listeners, once again. Father, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I pray for those that are tuned in to this broadcast this morning. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that, that their hearts would be receptive and their ears would be open to receive your word. We thank you so much for everything, because apart from you, it's virtually impossible for anything to take place. So we love you and we thank you all out there in Radio Land, and we ask your blessings to continue to pray for us as well, and that continue to communicate with us in Jesus' mighty name. Praise God. Praise God.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Well, today I want to speak on a subject. Is Jesus Christ enough for us all that are born again? Is Jesus Christ, or perhaps is the Word of God enough? There are many people today that are searching and going different places to try and find whatever it is that they're looking for. But I want to tell you today that the Lord Jesus Christ is enough for us all. I like to say he's more than enough. El Shaddai. He's more than enough. But whatever your needs may be today, the Lord Jesus Christ is more than enough. He's not just enough. He is more than enough. So if you have problems today in your life, I just want to tell you that just focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. Keep your mind on him. And the word says that he'll keep us in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on him. So if you love the Lord Jesus Christ, keep your mind on him, and he'll bring forth whatever it is that you need, because he is all that you need. Praise God. I remember Apostle Paul, as he was ministering, he said in Galatians 2 and verse 20, he said, "For I am crucified with Christ." The union that he had. See, Jesus was enough for Apostle Paul, and he wrote 13 to 14 epistles of the new covenant. So if he's enough for him, he's got to be enough for me. Praise God. Because I never wrote no Bible, and I know that God is more than enough. So we thank God for it. But Paul said in Galatians 2 and verse 20, he says, "I'm crucified with Christ." In other words, the union that I have with the Lord Jesus Christ. I died with him. Jesus died on the cross of Calvary. Apostle Paul identified with him through his death. He said, "I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but it is Christ that lives in me." Praise God. What a union. "And the life that I now live in the flesh," as the physical man, he says, "I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." Well, I asked the question this morning, is Jesus Christ enough for you? Why are we running to and fro trying to find other avenues of desire, when the Lord Jesus Christ, he is enough for us all that are born again and washed in the blood of the Lamb? Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. He is enough. Glory to God. And whatever may be in your life that you are challenging with, I want to tell you the Lord Jesus Christ is enough. He is more than enough. He's whatever it is that you want him to be at the time of your desire. Praise God. He is more than enough. Praise God. And let's look at the Word of God here in another verse of scripture here, because I want to tell you, first of all, the challenges that you or I may be facing on a day-to-day basis. I want to tell you that there's nothing that's going to prosper with what you're being challenged with. There are many challenges that come our way, but Jesus is more than enough. And matter of fact, the prophet Isaiah told us in Isaiah 54 and verse 17, Minister Glory, would you like to read that?
Praise God. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper.
Glory to God.
And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord.
Good God Almighty. No weapon. The prophet never said that the weapons won't be formed, but he said they won't prosper. And that's the most important thing. They won't prosper. The enemy is forming all kinds of weapons, bringing forth challenges in the lives of God's people. But I want to tell you, they're not going to prosper. And every tongue that rises up against you in judgment, you'll condemn it. Because this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. See, we are servants of the Lord. Everyone that's born again, you are a servant of the Lord if you're being obedient to the Spirit of the living God and allowing the Holy Spirit to divinely guide you according to what God wants done out of your life. See, so the weapon won't prosper. We are heritage of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and we belong to Him, and what we have in our possession is His righteousness. So the enemy has no chance. He's just forming stuff, but it won't prosper in any of our lives if we believe what the Word of God is saying. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And another verse of scripture here that we like to kind of magnify on. Minister Glover, if you want to read it in 1 John. 1 John 4, verse 4. Praise God. Praise
it
the
says,
Lord. Because it's good.
Okay, you of God, little children.
Amen.
And have overcome them. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world.
Praise God. Isn't that wonderful? We know who resides on the inside of us as children of God. We must keep in mind at all times that our faith takes us into a place where we have the victory through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ by focusing on Him.
Amen.
Because He is the author and finisher of our faith. So in 1 John 4 and verse 4, it tells us here that the greater witness lives on the inside of us.
Amen.
Praise God. And whatever else that's challenging you today out there in radio land, born again believers, I just want to tell you that it's outside of you. The one that's on the inside of you is greater than the one that's on the outside of
you. Hallelujah.
The one that's on the outside of you is no one other than the adversary, the devil. But the one that's on the inside of us is the Holy Spirit. And this is why John was saying greater.
Greater.
Not great, but greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Isn't that wonderful?
That is wonderful.
The greater witness lives on the inside of us. So whatever we're challenged, being challenged with today, first of all, the prophet Isaiah, I lean back to what he has said, that no weapon that's formed against you shall prosper, praise God. And every tongue that rises up against you in judgment, thou shalt condemn. But this is, what is this? This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, says the Lord of hosts. Praise God. The greater witness is on the inside of us, and he is the Holy Spirit. And he is the one that divinely guide and lead us. He is the power that magnifies, that brings forth deliverance and healing and everything that you need, the Holy Spirit. And what he does is that, you know, Minister Glover, it's so important that because the Holy Spirit, what he does is that he points us all to Calvary.
Yes.
Amen. Where the victory was won right there at Calvary's cross. That's how he, and this is why when we follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit, he takes us to Calvary. He shows us the one that has done it all, the Lord Jesus Christ. But I tell you something. Let's look at Romans 8 and verse 11, mm-hmm. which is a very powerful verse of scripture here, because we wouldn't be able to do anything without the power of the Holy Spirit. Many of us try to do things. We try to make things happen, but it's virtually impossible because we need the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit to be manifested in our lives. You know, we don't say, well, Holy Spirit, come and do this mighty work. We don't say that because that's scripturally unsound. Because once you are born again and washed in the blood of the Lamb, the Holy Spirit resides on the inside of you. He doesn't have to come. He's already there. Praise the Lord. He's already there in your life. And also, he said he'll never leave you.
Never leave you nor forsake you.
Amen.
Be with you until the end of the world.
Praise God. So why are we going to try to call him? No, we pray to God that he manifests himself in us. Praise God. Isn't that wonderful?
That is wonderful.
He's already there. He's mm-hmm. on the inside of us. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So in Romans 8 and verse 11, Minister Glory, would you kindly read that to the radio listeners out there?
It says, but if, that's the qualifier.
Yes.
The spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you.
I ask the question out there in radio land, is Jesus enough for you?
Amen.
Praise God. Is Jesus enough for you? Because all power been given into his hands, praise God. And Apostle Paul was telling us in the 8th chapter of the book of Romans, there, the epistle of Romans, he was saying that if, now let me explain something. Many people try to take the word of God on its own or take it for granted, but I want to tell you something. If we look at what the scripture says, most of it is conditional. It's conditional. And this is what he's saying in Romans 8 verse 11. It's conditional. It says if, you know, if it's conditional, that's the qualifier. If the spirit of him that raised up Christ from the dead dwells in you. Yes, he's in me.
Amen.
The spirit of the living God that raised up Christ from the dead dwells in me. And he says, and if he's in you, then he will quicken your mortal bodies and make you alive. Glory. By that very same spirit.
Glory to God.
That dwells in us. Mm-hmm. Praise God. That Amen. Raised Christ from the dead.
Amen.
That's why the question is Jesus enough for you?
Hallelujah.
God is mm-hmm. Jesus. Is he enough for you? Praise God. You don't need to run anywhere else. You don't need to try and make anything happen. The Lord Jesus Christ is enough for us all.
That's right.
That believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and taking him at his word. Because all power, I said all power, is in his hands.
Yes.
And he's able to do the magnificent. And when we can trust him and take him at his word, no matter what challenges come before us, we have the victory.
Oh yes, hallelujah.
We have the power of Almighty God.
Yes,
residing on the inside of us. We don't have to call the Holy Spirit. We ask him to manifest himself in us because he is there. Praise God. You know, Minister Glory, it's amazing how, you know, sometimes you hear people sing the song, "Come by Holy Spirit."
Mm-hmm.
You know, these are unscripture.
Yes,
and it's disbelief,
mm-hmm.
Unbelief, mm-hmm. because if he's in you, now if you're not born again, mm-hmm. and washing the blood of the Lamb, now I can kind of understand you calling him.
Yes,
but as a born again believer, we don't call him. We ask him to manifest himself in our lives, in this temple. Because our body is the temple of God.
Temple of God.
And the Spirit of God dwells in us.
Amen.
So we don't have to call the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
He is the greater witness that resides on the inside of us as a child of God.
Amen.
And even those out there in radio land that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. And most of the time, the platform here is geared, it has a bilateral teaching here. It's for the Christian and for the sinner. Because the Holy Spirit, what he does is that he convicts the sinner and he convicts the Christian. He convicts the sinner because he doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ. And he convicts the Christian because he knows the Lord and he's done something wrong, so it has to be removed out of his life through confessing it as sin.
Yes.
And this is the most powerful thing here, is that when we depend on the Holy Spirit, and I tell you, Jesus is enough. Well, he's enough for me. Praise
Amen.
God.
Enough for me, too.
I personalize it.
Amen.
It's enough for me.
Amen.
And he's given me power. Praise the Lord. He's given you power if you're born again.
Mm-hmm.
Because he is the author and finisher of our faith. And all power is in his hand.
In his hand.
Okay. And he resides on the inside of me by the Spirit of the living God.
Praise
Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
So Minister Glory, you want to look at another verse of scripture here, because you see, we didn't write this. All we're doing is echoing what God has said through his love letter to us all who would believe and trust in him.
Amen.
I tell you, I love him, and I thank God for what he's done in my life. Sometimes I kind of reminisce, look back at the old way of life, which shouldn't be doing that, but sometimes it comes to mind in terms of how God could have cut you off. But, you know, in the divine providence of God, he knew exactly what was going to happen, that you were going to come to him.
Amen.
I was going to come to him.
Amen.
So that's the reason why we're behind this platform, this pulpit right now, or microphones, and we are speaking about the goodness of the Lord Jesus Christ. He could have cut you off.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
He could have cut me off, because I was in sin and far from a peaceful shore. But see, thank God that he knew the beginning and the end. He had declared the end from the beginning, so he knew everything that would be taking place. And this is why I'm where I am today, in terms of glorifying the mighty God, the one that's able to do all things. Praise God. Now, he's given us power. This is why Jesus is enough.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need anything else. Jesus is enough. You want to read Luke in the 10th chapter, Minister Glory?
Yes.
Praise God.
And he said unto them, he was speaking to disciples, but we're his disciples now. He says, I beheld Satan as lightning and fall from heaven. Behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you.
Nothing.
Nothing.
Absolutely, positively nothing. That is a promise.
That's right.
Excuse me. That is a promise. He said nothing will hurt you. And we deal with people all the time. Well, I shouldn't say all the time, but most of the time, folks that are being oppressed by the enemy. And I want to tell you that the Spirit of the living God moves in all of our lives as children of God. And this is why I said Jesus is enough. You know, Minister Glory, he has given us power. He told, you remember, well, first of all, he took the disciples, and then he made them apostles by sending forth, because the word apostle means those that are sent forth. Praise God. So then, so the apostles that were sent forth, 12, and then also now, he sent out the 70, and then the 70 came back, and they were rejoicing, because the spirits were subject unto them in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And this is why Jesus told them, said, well, listen, I beheld Satan as lightning falling from heaven, but behold, I give unto you power. Praise God. So we as children of God, we have power. Praise God. And it's been given to us through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, that word power there in that 19th verse there, actually, it is authority. It's exousia in the Greek. It's authority. So we have the authority to walk on serpents, scorpions there. Demonic spirits.
Yes.
We have that power and to tread upon them. And Jesus said, and nothing shall by any means hurt you.
Amen.
And that is a promise.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're born again and you know that the word of God is in your heart, and by faith you believe everything that the Lord Jesus Christ has said, then you can walk in this power. It's not your power. It's the power of God.
Yes.
And when we look at this, the Bible tells us that, you know, he uses us. He uses folks that want to be used, that are being obedient to what the word of God says. So Jesus is enough.
Yes.
All we need is the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
He is all we need.
Yes, and just believe what he has done.
Amen. And believe what he has done for us on Calvary's cross.
That's right.
But see, it's more believing, but then you have to live what you're talking about by faith. Praise God. By faith. You also have to live what you're believing.
Exactly.
Because the scripture tells us that demons believe.
Yes, true.
And they are tremble.
Yes, true.
They tremble.
Mm-hmm.
But see, this thing is more powerful than that.
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus Christ is enough.
Yes.
For all of us.
Yes.
No matter what your dilemma may be today.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what challenges you may be going through. Jesus Christ is enough.
Yes, he is.
He is more than enough, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
With you, praise God. And I tell you why, because he shed his precious blood there on the cross of Calvary.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. That's what he did. He shed his precious blood there on the cross of Calvary. And his blood has power. Mm-hmm. You want to, Minister Gloria, would you like to read Revelation 12 and verse 11? Mm-hmm. Praise God. I know you got you going through your Bible there.
That's okay.
Praise God. That's good.
And it says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb.
Yes.
And by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto death.
My God, my God. They overcame him. Now, the Antichrist, that's during tribulation period. But let me tell you something. Still, he's a devil.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's operating under the auspices of Satan. So what happened is that they overcame him. And if they overcame him believing what the word of God said, then we are overcomers as well.
Exactly.
And Jesus said he overcame the world, and he's on the inside of us. Therefore, we are overcomers.
Right.
Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So he said, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. That blood was shed there on Calvary's cross.
Ooh, glory.
That's where the power is. Glory to God.
Mm-hmm.
The blood of Jesus. Praise his wonderful name.
Amen.
That was shed on Calvary's cross.
Mm-hmm.
So they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. And by the word of their testimony. What is your word of testimony out there? Can you strongly and honestly believe and say that Jesus Christ is Lord in your life, and that he has given you the victory, and that you have this power resonating on the inside of you, and no matter what challenge come up against you, that you are able, praise God, to cast it down because Jesus has given you the authority, the power. He said it in Luke 10 and 19. Behold, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. You see, we rejoice because of all of that.
Right.
But the thing of it is that Jesus said, don't rejoice because the spirits are subject unto you in my name. But rejoice because your name is written down in heaven. Well, my name is in the book.
Glory,
praise
glory
God.
To God.
I pray that your name is in the book. Glory to God. Written down in
the Lamb's
heaven.
Book of life. Praise,
in the Lamb's book of life.
Amen.
That's the most important
thing.
That's
most important.
You know, we're not going around here trying to make a name for ourselves. No. We thank the Lord.
Yes.
That our names are written down in the Lamb's book of life.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Isn't that wonderful?
That is wonderful.
So when you look at Revelation 12 and verse 11, it says that, first of all, the blood.
The blood.
The word is a testimony.
Woo! Glory.
And it's being sold out to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God. Mm-hmm. So the word, the blood, the word, and being sold out to Jesus. But you're not even worrying about your life no more.
Glory
because,
God.
First of all, really, it's not your life anymore.
No.
Because You've been bought with a price.
Bought with a price.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Would you like to read that verse of scripture, Minister Gloria, in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 19?
Yes.
No. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 19. Praise God.
6 and 19.
Amen.
Yes. It says, what? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost?
Yes,
which
Lord.
Is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? For you are bought with a price.
Lord Jesus.
Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's.
Praise God. So we've been purchased.
Yes.
And the purchase took place at the cross of Calvary.
Yes.
We were all on that, the market of sin. I put it in that fashion.
Mm-hmm.
There.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yes.
And what happened is that the Lord Jesus Christ made the purchase.
Yes.
He made the purchase. He bought us at Calvary.
Amen.
And that's why we were purchased. There.
Purchased.
Praise God. Is Jesus enough for you?
Yes.
Of course he's enough.
Yes.
He's all that you need.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need anything else. You don't need any fancy jobs.
Nope.
Fancy cars, fancy homes,
nope.
All this. Those things are good. But what it is that you need Jesus.
We need Jesus.
He is the author and finisher of our faith.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
I want to tell you as we close this broadcast here that, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ in Ephesians 2 and verse 6, Minister Gloria, would you read that? Because what happened is that he raised us up.
Yes, he has.
Glory to God.
Ephesians 2.
I'm telling you.
That's
all we need is Jesus.
Amen. It says, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus.
Oh my goodness.
Wow. Praise God.
He's all I need.
Amen.
He's all I need.
Praise God.
Jesus Christ is all that I need.
Amen.
And I want to leave these encouraging words to all that are tuned in to broadcast out there in Radio Land. It said, there is one way. There's one way to God.
Amen.
One way. One way to God. One way, one way to God. One way, one way to God. Receiving Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Glory.
Praise God.
Touch them out there.
Praise the Lord. Just open up your hearts right now. If you confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved.
Praise God.
For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved by faith. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, God bless you all out there in Radio Land until the next broadcast. There's only one way, and that is Jesus Christ. God bless you all out. It's my prayer.
You've been listening to the Salvation and Deliverance Outreach, brought to you by New Life Assembly of God Church, located at 774 North Apollo Boulevard in Melbourne. Their number is 321-255-6999. You also can write New Life Assembly of God Church at Post Office Box 2303, Melbourne, Florida 32902. Be with us again at the same time next week for another program, Salvation and Deliverance Radio Outreach.